Hi, welcome to another Expert Insights discussion. Today we follow up on our video from yesterday looking at total revenue management. But in this video, we take a wider perspective from a chief executive's viewpoint. We're joined in this discussion by Vasilis, founder and CEO of Juyo Analytics. And we ask for his thoughts on some of the points that were made in the recent discussion with Karin and Rita and Jens. We question why department silos are still so prevalent, how hotel contracts and KPIs influence the hotel performance focus, and where technology, specifically BI tools, can have an influence on eventually achieving total revenue management. Really hope you enjoy the conversation. Hey, Vasilis, thanks for joining us again today. Hope things are well with you. You good?
Yeah, thank you for having me again. Yeah, absolutely. Very good. Very good. Thanks.
Excellent. No, you're welcome. Always like having you on these kind of conversations. But this one's a slightly different discussion than we've done in the past. As you know, we recently recorded a discussion with Karin, your COO at Juyo, and Rita Macker, Regional Director of Revenue Management at Virgin Hotels, and Jens, have I pronounced it Egmar? Is that the correct pronunciation?
Yes.
Egmar,
yes.
Yeah. Director of Distribution at Pandox. It was a fascinating conversation, not just because the interaction and experience of those individuals, but also the two topics that they were talking about, total revenue and net revenue, have been spoken about to varying degrees for quite a long time. Now, Jens, Karin and Amrita, they said that one of the challenges around focusing on total revenue is still the fact, and this surprised me, that it's still the fact that departments focus on their own business areas. I mean, we've been talking for years about breaking down the silos, about data, about the impact of the pandemic. So I guess my first question to you is, with me being surprised, are you surprised? What are you seeing day to day with clients that you're working with? Does this departmental focus still exist? Is it still a legacy challenge?
You know, the departmental silos, that is something, of course, that brings some complexity there. I think it starts with a sort of high level thinking of how do you approach total revenue,
right?
And because we are, hotels are real estate, and you know, real estate is measurable because it has square meters and number of rooms and all that kind of stuff. We have a very inventory centric focus on how we manage our hotels, and in terms of revenue as well, we have a very inventory centric way of looking at our business. And the shift that we need to do in our head is that, you know, if you're looking at total revenue, you're not talking about, you shouldn't be talking about inventory, but you should talk about the customer. So the thing that links everything together is actually the customer. The thing that links departments together is the customer. So
yeah,
once you change that level of thinking, let's say as an organization, and you put the customer in the center and you look at how everything revolves around the customer, then you can start, you know, taking decisions across different departments, because your customer is, you know, it's irrelevant with all the departments.
Yep.
You know, they are interact with all of them, right? So that's your red line.
That makes a lot of sense. And one thing that was proposed was that one of the issues as to why maybe total revenue isn't being adapted at quite the pace it could have been, is that when you're looking at the large brands and management contracts or franchise agreements, to your point, all of the KPIs or metrics or measurables or what payments are based on are driven around things that are very heavily inventory linked. And so there was the argument that, well, while those are the agreements, that it doesn't matter what you guys are doing from a tech side of things, what Amrita or Jens are doing from a hotelier perspective, if owners investors, asset managers are all measuring the performance by those contracts and those metrics. Why is anything going to change? So I'm kind of interested because you do a mix of working with groups and different size of groups. And so I'm keen to understand what part that may play as to whether it's, you know, is it a carrot and stick? Is it the chicken and egg argument? You know, which comes first kind of thing?
Well, I think it depends on what type of organization you are and where you sit in the value chain of how a hotel operates. You know, a hotel has, there's many different entities that are busy with a hotel. You have the ownership company, you can have the management company, you can have the brand, right? Mm-hmm. And sometimes you have all sorts of consultants that are working left and right. It used to be in the past that the hotel brands were doing a little bit of everything. They owned hotels, they were managing the hotel, and they owned also the brand, so sort of vertically integrated, so to speak. Now, if you have that position, total revenue is very, very important because that goes directly down to profitability. So a lot of innovation, I remember when I learned revenue management, that was, you know, some decades ago.
When we both had hair, possibly.
I did have hair, definitely. I lost them while being busy with revenue management. No. So my education was from the global brands. There was a big push in total revenue management. There was a big push in thinking about profitability, you know, which business is contributing most to profit. So there was a lot of innovation there. And obviously, the big brands were the ones that have a lot of money. They could invest and they could do all these training programs and roll out all these systems, etc. In the meanwhile, what happened is that the big brands became franchise companies, and the franchise contracts are, you know, indeed, let's say the money comes from room revenue and percentages on room revenue. Some percentage on total revenue, but not so much. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's minor, right? So all these franchise contracts are on the room revenue. So the incentive for the big brands that could invest, let's say, in this area was not there anymore. So therefore, they didn't invest.
Yeah.
And if you look at then on the hotel side, the smaller companies, well, they didn't have money to invest, but then the technology wasn't there neither. And then the expertise was in the brands and it wasn't in the small companies. So that's why, you know, total revenue became kind of a no man's land. And, you know, from an owner perspective, everybody knew we need to do something about it, but there was no technology investments. The brand didn't care. The brands didn't care so much anymore. So we actually, as an industry, we didn't do much. The tech companies were saying, well, nobody's really interested in that. So let's create 100 RMSs because only 8% of the hotels in the world have an RMS.
Yeah.
That's where the big opportunity is. So we neglected that, that part. So, you know, as in all things, I think, you know, it's multiple reasons why that has been neglected. So, you know, we are very good to point the hotelier and to say, you know, hoteliers are not innovating and they are not this and they are not that. But, you know, there is forces in the industry that
it's a bit like governments can set policies which can either open things up or close things down in some ways. And I guess in the same way, you know, if every franchise contract was measured on total revenue, there'd probably be a big shift in looking at companies that could provide the technology to help people measure it and how do I go out and start implementing, wouldn't it? So you know, there is a catch 22 or a chicken and egg back to that analogy, isn't there?
Yeah, correct. And, you know, if you look at investors as well in hospitality, used to be, you know, pension funds and sort of these sort of institutional investors, and they were happy to get a check at the end of the year, so to speak. You know, I think hotels are real estate, and that was considered maybe, let's call it an investment that's kind of sure and stable. Yep. And these were the times. So it was like, okay, you know, total revenue, who cares? We get our check at the end of the month and we have a fixed lease or what have you, and we're happy with that. But I think this has changed during COVID and after COVID. I mean, we'll probably go there, is that, you know, investment in hospitality has become much more sophisticated. So times are changing.
One of the things, again, that the panel, I'm just referring to my notes here. One of the things that the panel looked at was they agreed that having total revenue data across the different, you know, companies, channels, segments, countries, so on, whatever, is all well and good. But there needs to be a greater sophistication of how that data is pulled together, which I guess is where something like a BI tool comes in. So you, I'd be interested in your, I guess, two points to this question then. One is, where does a tool, a BI tool, sit, like a Duio solution? How does that sit? How does that help? If our contract KPIs were saying we want total revenue, how can that kind of information help us? And then also, where do you see the evolution beyond just, well, here's the data, here's how we can do something with it and present it? Where does it go from there? So there's two sides to that. One, how would it fit right here, right now? And two, how could it then evolve, so to speak?
Yeah. Well, I'll take the previous question and add to that, and then we can lead to this one here, which is another reason I think why total revenue as such, we say total revenue management, is not there, is because it's a collection of different tactics. It's not one thing that you're doing. Okay. You're not optimizing room revenue, pricing and inventory, right? So optimizing room revenue pretty much at the basics, revenue management, if you exclude distribution, is, you know, how much do I sell of every segment? You know, really simplistically, and at what price? Yep. That's basically the playing field. Total revenue is much more than that. It's, you know, who are the customers that spend the most in my hotel? How do I optimize my meeting and events? You know, what's my revenue per square meter in the restaurant? Can I optimize table rotation? What kind of promotions can I pull up to drive, you know, packages or upsell before? So it's all of these tactics all together, and that's what total revenue management is. So even today, if someone says, I do total revenue management, it's like, no, you do upsell and you do revenue per square meter, but you don't use the whole toolkit. And so I think that's part of the challenge. If we go to the, let's say, BI side of things, that is also where the challenge is coming. Because it's a collection and a basket of so many different challenges, it takes time also for a software company like ours. You know, we first, I would love to have a magic wand and solve them all one by one. I mean, we'll spend enough time. We'll be here for a long time focusing on all of them. I can tell you that. That's for sure. But what you need to do is that you need to start tackling where the biggest opportunities are and then go from there, right? So I forgot the initial question now, but...
No, it was where the BI, because I guess the BI is helping to show you where those opportunities are.
Correct. So, and I, again, tying it back together, at least what we do as a company, and I think there's other companies that are doing a great job as well out there, is, you know, if you start with a customer, then you need to think, how am I going to aggregate all the data around the customer? And if you aggregate it in a way that maybe... hotels haven't seen yet, maybe you can trigger some new questions. And I think that's what we're trying to do, let's say, philosophically speaking, let's say when we're developing the product, we're trying to think, you know, first of all, surface the data, just show that it's A or B or C or whatever, but show it in the way that will trigger more questions.
And that's
where the beauty comes. If you can trigger some more questions, and if customer success is getting more questions around them, then they say, hey, why is this in that way? And, you know, what can you do with that? Then we know we're onto something, because that will lead to some action, and action will lead to us developing further in that direction as well. So that's I don't know.
That's really interesting. I hadn't expected that last part of the answer, because you often feel you invest in a solution to solve something.
Yes.
And in a way, the BI tool is solving, if I understand correctly, the conundrum of pulling all this information together. Actually, what the BI tool is saying, right, now what do you want to ask? Now what do you want to know? Now what do you want to think about? Now engage the brain because you've got that. It's like having a jigsaw puzzle, but when we separate out a jigsaw Correct. Puzzle into our different parts, we're now pulling it back together, but it's still not the complete picture. It's like blurry, hazy. We've still got to ask a few extra bits of information. Is that a fair, long-winded summation of what you just said?
Definitely. And I think, you know, a good BI tool, and that's how we think about it. You have questions. These questions need to be answered. That's mm-hmm. great. But what if you don't know the questions? So, you know, then we need to help you formulate these questions, right? And so if we can do that as a company, we say, let's help hotels formulate better questions, I think then we're onto something. Because it's not only about getting the data, processing it, and sort of feeding you the data. No, there's some, you know, I call it internally, let's say, what's the magic layer on top of that? Mm-hmm. That's mm-hmm. it there. You know, how can we do that? So, and it's about allowing hotels to explore the unknown, so yep. to speak, right?
Yeah.
Okay, that's getting very philosophical now.
But I know what you're saying.
But that's a little bit what you need to do. And sometimes you have a very good feeling of where your revenue opportunities are, and sometimes you don't. Mm-hmm. And sometimes inadvertently you say, hey, it seems to us that we're quite good in, I don't know, renting out space for people that do X, Y, Z. I don't know, whatever.
Yeah.
And you might see that only if you have the data, but you didn't expect that at the first place.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of opportunities come from that observation.
Yeah, I think it's interesting because I think a lot of people, you know, look at a BI tool as a way of collecting the data and maybe visualizing it in a more effective way. But to be honest, you could have a data warehouse and someone just use various solutions to put a graph together or whatever, or tell you something. But it's I think what I'm picking up from your last point is that it's the basic aspect of what it does. The mm-hmm. value add of the BI tool is to maybe identify some things that you couldn't see when you were looking at all this information Correct. Independently. And then through that, prompting you to say, so what does this mean? Why are you good at that? What's the impact of being good at that? Are there things that could be applied elsewhere? Are there things that could make, you know, it's almost a tool for the inquisitive person, I would think. You know, if someone's yes. quite happy just to sit there and say, hey, we're okay, you know, we 90% occupancy, our rates are all right, I'm making a nice profit, I drive my nice car home at the end of the day, you probably don't need a BI tool, you're okay. But if you kind of feel that you're not getting the most out of your property, but you're not quite sure why, then it would seem that inquisitive nature, the questions you have in your head but not quite sure how to formulate it, the BI tool would be there to maybe guide you towards a direction where you should be asking questions or maybe posing a question in a different way. Would that be fair?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think AI will have a big role to play, you know, in the next months and years there, whereby it will surface information and trends that are that you might not even know.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I'm very excited about what's happening on AI today. There's a lot of advancements. I mean, it's getting cheaper and cheaper to build anything on AI. So mm-hmm. that's definitely a great development.
That makes sense.
And also, hoteliers will have in the next years more time to explore these unknowns because, you know, they have an RMS, they don't need to do pricing anymore. And,
yep.
you know, channel managers and all this technology and all this automation is there, etc. So, you know, what's the best asset that you have as a person is your brain, is thinking. Yep. And
half the time you don't have the time to think. So now you can get the time. Yeah.
And now you'll have the time to think and explore these. So I think that in the next year we'll see more and more sophistication in not only in technology, but also we see that from the questions that customers ask us. I mean, they're getting more and more sophisticated, and And I think that's fantastic. That's great. I'm optimistic.
Well, I hope that conversation was of interest, and thanks again to Vasilis for joining us. If you have any thoughts or views on this discussion, please feel free to reach out. You can contact us via our social channels, or you can email us via insights@revenue-hub.com. If you like what we're producing, please do subscribe through the podcast channel you're listening to. And if you want to see the interview, you can find it on the Revenue Hub YouTube channel, and the link is in the podcast notes. Anyway, until next time, thanks for listening.